Okay, turn your Bibles tonight to Psalm 37. I want to talk a little bit about the importance of faith in our Christian life. Psalm 37 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." So we think about this is a great passage of faith, and notice the connection between trusting in the Lord and doing good. Trust in the Lord and do good. It puts a very concrete connection between those two activities. Notice verse 5, it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Notice the relationship now of commitment and faith. And, of course, notice the relationship between the blessing of God and faith. And he shall bring it to pass. In the spiritual battle of life, the Bible tells us without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, many times we disassociate faith with real life. Many times we make faith a religious term, a spiritual term, but it's not anything that's in our thinking. We can talk about faith, and I mean, we could probably have people give whole exposés on what the Bible says about faith, but that doesn't mean that we live by faith. You know, we can talk about faith, we can know about faith, but that doesn't mean that we understand faith. That doesn't mean that we apply faith to our life. You know, we are increasingly in a day in which Christians have Christian religion and heathen thinking. Because Christianity has become such a religious thing, the realities of applying that to life has become very negligible. But, you know, Satan understands that. And he understands that he is defeated by faith. Taking the shield of faith, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's turn there. I find that if we don't turn there, many times it's easy just to daydream away, and you never get the thought. And so let's take time to look at it, the Word of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. "And above all," that's a great phrase, "taking the shield of faith, whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And so we have a picture here the spiritual battle that we are in, many times that we are totally unaware of. And we have the picture of the darts of Satan. I'm sure that the darts of Satan are, you know, they're red and they're big and they have flames on them. And they say, "The darts of Satan." I'm sure that's the way it is, right? No. Satan is the deceiver. And our famous saying is, if you knew you were being deceived, then you wouldn't be deceived. The sad thing about deception is you don't know you're being deceived. Huh. But the spiritual reality is Satan casts, and I believe that Satan casts thoughts into people's minds. The wiles of the devil, I think the word there is nomata, which we get the word thoughts from or words from. And you know, there's a couple things that don't happen. Many people don't take time to think about where their thoughts came from. You know, the average person, a thought comes to their mind and they just think, oh, you know, I got a good mind, I got a good brain, and because it came from, I got this thought, must be right. Well, a thought is only a collection of, it's usually a collection of all the things that we have put on our mind. And if we haven't put enough of the Word of God on our mind, we aren't going to think correctly. That's just all there is to it. Christianity is not magic, you know. Abracadabra, you know. Or, you know, each have your pew that you're used to, and abracadabra, I sat in my pew. And that makes me a Christian thinker. No. We think the way we think because of what we have allowed to be put in our mind. And we also think the way we think because Satan has the ability to put thoughts in our mind. How else would he be the tempter? But the Bible tells us that there is a means to defeat the wrong thoughts. Now, every action is preceded by thoughts. No action ever takes place that isn't preceded by thoughts. People think and then they act. And bad actions are preceded by bad thoughts. And bad thoughts are there because they don't have the right thinking in their head. And that's because they don't have the Word of God in their head, or they're filling their mind with the world, or, and the combination to that, the devil also is able to use the thoughts around us and put a spiritual power behind them. That's why the words of a scorner are so terrible, because the devil loves the words of a scorner. He makes those words powerful. And he makes the words of the world powerful. We don't. He is a spiritual foe. Now the Bible tells us we solve that problem by what? Faith. Faith is a shield. You know about that in Africa, right? Shield. And the Bible says that shield of faith. What does it do? It says it will quench. It'll put them out. All the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, we have a principle here of faith. And in this case, faith is a decision to believe what God has said. A decision to obey what God has said. A decision to hold the Word of God to be true and the lies to be lies. Now, truth. Taking the shield of faith. And faith is a vital part in our spiritual life. We notice all the connections there. Faith is connected with doing good. Why would a person do bad? It's simple. Because they believe it will be better for them to do bad than to do good. That's why people do bad. They believe the lie of the devil. You know, when you do good, you believe you are acting as though there is a God who rewards righteousness. And no matter what it may seem like, you are believing the God of heaven. Faith, you know, is such a vital, vital issue. You know, I was thinking about this, trying to apply it right where maybe some of us are at. What about money? Do many people fall because they don't have faith about money? What do you think? What do you think, Mr. Raines? Oh, a lot of people fall because they don't have faith in the area of money, don't they? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, you know, you have to have faith about money. The devil really, he can offer a lot of money. He owns the kingdoms of the world. He can offer a lot of money. He can tempt with a lot of money. But you know, there's something that has to be bigger than money. It has to be God. It has to be doing right. Doing right has to be bigger than money. If money is bigger than doing right, what do you lack? Faith. When money becomes bigger than God, you lack faith. You don't believe that God can take care of you if you do right. And so, because you don't believe God, then money becomes in front of God. And it's all because of a lack of faith. Faith is just such a down-earth, vital ingredient of our life. You know, people have all this reason. I got to do this. 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 But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. No. When it comes in front of God, you see, the devil's all about reasoning, isn't he? He wants you to have all these reasons why you put money in front of God. But if you understand the principle of faith, then you aren't going to succumb to those influences. You know, we had a man in our church years ago. He was a farmer. And he felt sorry for me. I didn't know anything about firemen, and we were doing some firing. And I must have been pretty pathetic. But you know me, by God's grace, you just do what you got to do to stay alive. And so, but boy, he had a terrible problem. He didn't have faith. And we'd cut the hay. And wouldn't be ready to bale on Saturday. And he'd come to me and say, Pastor, we got to bale hay tomorrow. It's going to rain on Monday. I says, nope. We're not baling the hay on Sunday. He says, if you don't bale it on Sunday, it's going to be junk because it's raining on Monday. I says, we're not baling on Sunday. You know, he couldn't handle it. He had to bale the hay on Sunday. But I wouldn't let him. But, I mean, you could tell he was going ballistic on the inside. You know why? Because he didn't have faith. You know, making a bale of hay was more important than having faith. Making a bale of hay was more important than having a good testimony. Making a bale of hay was more important than the Bible. When something's more important than the Bible, then something's more important than what? God. You understand what I'm saying? If it's more important than the Bible, then it's more important than God. If it's more important than having good testimony, well, then it's more important than God. You know, there's a lot of things in between the verses that are there. And I remember one time being at Fickell Building Center. This years ago, we had started the nursery for the kids, and Gary Dubernall was there. And he had a prospering nursery in town. And he says, "Ron, I noticed you said your sign says your nursery's closed on Sunday." And I says, "Yeah." He says, "You'll never make it." He says, "We do 90% of our business on Sunday. On Sunday afternoon, we have customers standing in line for 3 hours to buy things. You'll never make it if you're not open on Sunday." Well, obviously, he was a heathen. He didn't have faith. You wouldn't expect him to have faith. But the principle is the principle of faith. And when you put something in front of God, it's simply because we don't have faith. We don't have faith. Now, I like that verse in Proverbs 37 that says the steps. Let's go back to Proverbs 37. This was Grant Rice's favorite verse. Psalm. What did I say? Well, sorry. Psalm 37. And let's see, what verse is that? Help. Pardon me? 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Well, who orders the steps of a good man? God does. God orders them. You know, why does God order them? Because God rewards good. God rewards good. It's a simple principle. You do what's right. You follow the path of the Lord. You give yourself to God. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. There's a commitment. You know, isn't it amazing? You know, we can commit to a mortgage on a house. And some people commit to a mortgage for 30 years. And they're saying, "I am going to make that payment every month for 30 years. You know, people, they hire on at a job, and they make a commitment that they're going to be there at whatever time, 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. They're making a commitment. But you know, as people make a commitment about God, ask people to make a commitment about God. "Oh, now you're talking about being a legalist. Now you're talking about being a legalist." No, you know what we're talking about? Faith. Faith. You know, commitment is based on a person having faith. You know, you say, "Well, okay, let's make a commitment that we're going to do such and such." Oh, why wouldn't you make a commitment? How many here like making commitments for the Lord? Don't raise your hand. How many, when it comes to spiritual things, are indecisive? Problem is faith. You know, a man could be a banker and have to make decisions about millions of dollars every day. In fact, I knew a banker, but he would never make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Because the basis principle of commitment is faith. When we decide that we're going to do right, it's because we have faith. Now, I like what one of the things that Matt Weber said the other day was a blessing to some of you. You know, I know what it's like being saved. Now, I'm a little bit different than most of you. I wasn't saved with the child of a first-generation Christian that didn't have any connection with spiritual things. I didn't have a family that was connected to anything spiritual. Besides that, I was first-generation Christian. And I went to Bible college. And the great majority of all the kids at Bible college, you know what? They have Christian aunts or uncles or moms or dads, or their parents are missionaries, or their parents are full-time Christian workers, or their parents have been in a Christian church for five generations or whatever it is like that. And, they have this whole circle of Christian people around them. And, you know, I remember hearing many of them talk about, you know, I just had $1,000 put on my bill. And another one said, I had $2,000 put on my bill. Another one says, I had $3,000 put on my bill. I never had a dime put on my bill. Because I didn't have any uncles who were Christian. I didn't have any dad or mom who was Christian or anybody else. I didn't have any relatives or Christians. I was unknown in my church. And just came out of the blue. They didn't put any money on my bill. I had no connections. And Matt Weber he had a few more connections than I do. But I like what Matt Weber said. You know, he says, one day I was at BCM and I was thinking, man, what am I doing here? I can't play a horn. I can't sing. Who am I? I came out of this bad past. Who am I? How can I ever serve the Lord? And the Lord said, just give your life to me. I'll take care of you. You know, it's faith. You know, and young person, you don't have to have any Christian relatives or pastors or missionaries to serve God. Now, I think being in our church and having our backing is enough to encourage you along the way. But you know what? You don't have to have a great big circle of Christian heritage to go out and be successful in the Lord's work. All you have to do is what? Have faith. Just trust God with your life. And you know, I can almost, parents maybe don't see this, but I see this. I see Christian young people, and they think, oh, how could I ever serve the Lord? How could it ever turn out? You know, how could it ever turn out? You know, why should I go to Bible college? I could never get a job with that education. How could I ever live? How could I ever have money? How could I ever take care of family? Faith. God's able to do it. It's faith. Faith is an essential ingredient. You trust God with your life. You know, faith doesn't see the end result. Faith just sees Him who's invisible. Now, let's get another important subject here. Marriage. You know, it takes a lot of faith to marry the right person. Now, there's a lot of issues there. But if I was a young lady, and I had a secular mind, this is how I'd think. No way am I going to dress like those people. I don't care what the Bible says. No way. How would I ever get a man? How would I ever get a man? What kind of man? You know, it's one out of 1 million that would want a godly girl. I mean, but it's 900,000 out of 1 million would want an ungodly one. I think I'll be an ungodly one. Bigger field. Now, guys don't think that way because, you know, they aren't necessarily marked as easily as a girl is. But you know what it takes? Faith. Faith. And when the girl starts losing faith, what does she start doing? She starts thinking how she can make it happen. What does a guy do? Doesn't have faith. Well, you know, if a guy isn't walking with God, he's not going to have a lot of faith, is he? Think he'd have a lot of faith? No. If he's not walking with God, who's going to be attracted to him? That's a big question. The wrong kind. And they're going to make sure that they get whoever they can get as soon as they can get, because they don't know if they'll ever get anyone later on. You know why? No faith. You got to have faith. Do you have faith? You know, when you go ahead of God, it's because you lack faith. When you try to make happen what God can make happen for you, it's a lack of faith. When you go ahead of God's plan, it's a lack of faith. That's what the devil told Jesus. Hey, just turn this stone into bread right now. Go ahead of God. Take care of everything in your own hands. Do it your way. You know, now, one sense, faith is a lot easier because God does it. But we're human. Boy, we like to get everything figured out. I remember when I was first saved, I was in this Christian organization, and there was a couple in that group that kind of discipled me. The man discipled me. And I said to him, you know, which are you going to be back at the university next year? And he says, I don't know. I'm just waiting on the Lord to show me what he wants me to do. Oh, that was so frustrating to me. Man, he wasn't making a decision unless God showed him. That was a new concept to me, this concept of faith. Now, faith is such an important part of our life. And we need to look at our actions and say, now, am I doing that because I really don't have faith that God could take care of that? Does what I am doing show that I don't have faith? Those are important questions for us to answer. You know, faith is the key. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Why would you live righteous? Because there is a God who rewards righteousness, whether it's in this world or the next world. It's faith is the key issue of our lives. And it's certainly a key issue in our prayer life as well. So, just want to challenge us tonight with this principle. And young people, you got a lot of life ahead of you. And letting something come in front of God is a sure sign of a lack of faith. Disobeying what God says to try to make it work out is a sure sign of a lack of faith. And faith, you know, isn't necessarily always easy. But you know, there is, there are some things that make faith easier. And that is, when we commit ourselves to the Lord, and we decide that we're going to follow God no matter what, faith comes a lot easier. Faith comes a lot easier. But when we don't make a commitment, faith really we really struggle with faith. But when we commit ourselves to do right, faith just is kind of like, well, I guess that's all I can do. All I can do now is trust God. You know, can't run from it, can't change it. I'm just trusting God. And it doesn't necessarily make us spiritual, because sometimes we don't really have a choice but to trust God, because He's the only way to turn. If we've made God the head of our life, then that's really the only choice we have. Have faith. Have faith in God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You will use this simple truth about faith in our lives. I believe it's a vital truth that we need to take a hold of even today, even tonight, in lives right here. Faith. Trusting God with our lives. Putting God first. Obeying Him. Trusting the only one who can be trusted. With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps even tonight.